Good morning.
Good morning.
As we started this morning and Rob was sharing the announcements, a thought came to mind as he looked to the congregation and he said, "How are you today?" And there was this kind of half-hearted, "Well, we're okay, you know, we're here." You know, just lacked a lot of life. But it made me think, and sometimes I remember occasions I have with individuals. And there's a man named William. And William was, William is about 6'6". Big guy. Shoulders a lot wider than mine. And I walk in and I'd say, "How is everyone today?" And this echoing voice from this large man would come back, and it would be a deep voice, and it was always the same thing: "Blessed and highly favored." William was in jail. He had been shot 4 times in 7 different instances. He was facing the next 30 years in jail. That was his sentence. He knew he was going to have to serve it. And he was there, and he had come to know Christ. He hadn't bargained with Christ. He had come to know Christ as his Savior and Lord. And in jail, facing 30 years in a federal penitentiary, you walk in, and here is this man, and you say, "How are you?" And he says, "Blessed and highly favored." I think God had hold of his heart. Sometimes we forget that, and we have all of the freedoms of life and the things that we do, and we forget really how blessed we are and how highly favored we are in the eyes of God. So, I don't know. It just came to mind as we were talking this morning. I wanted to share that with you. Today, we have the honor. We have the privilege of fellowshipping 6 new members into the church, people who have come to the church and decided that they want this to be their home church. We welcome them. We love them following the service. We've got a potluck upstairs. Please stick around. And some of you may need to run home and grab something or warm it up, so we'll give a little bit of a time frame there before we eat. And if nobody needs to run home and warm it up, then we'll just eat sooner. But we will have a time of fellowship with these new members. And I always look forward to receiving new members in the church. Ephesians 2, and if you'd like to follow, a beautiful, beautiful passage beginning with verse 19 in Ephesians 2. I looked at this passage the other day, and I've read this passage over and over and over again many times, but for some reason, it kind of stuck, and it was kind of the passage for today that I wanted to share. This is what is written, Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Beautiful description of the church. A beautiful description of how God wants the church to be and how he wants us to come together. You know, there are borders. You know, people that they really have no commitment. They simply pay rent just so they can have a place to hang their hat for a while. They're just borders. They're just temporary. A functional family member, however, is committed. A functional family member is caring, and they contribute to the well-being of the family. Well, my question today is, we have this time together, which are you going to be in relationship to God's family? Are you just a boarder, a renter? Or are you going to be a part of that functional family of God? I'll tell you what, we become a part of the family by the new birth. And what I mean by the new birth is at that time that we ask Jesus Christ into our lives as Savior and Lord, He comes in and we receive forgiveness for our sins and our past is washed away. We get a fresh start. But something else happens. We become a part of a greater family. It is a family that is not only recognized here in this church, it's not only recognized here in this town, but we can go anywhere around the world and we will find brothers and sisters that are a part of that same family. It's the family of God. Folks, that's awesome. And I've traveled different places and I've gone to different churches and been welcomed in as a part of the family. And it's so cool. We become that part of the family with the new birth. We're all the offspring of God in the sense that we are products of His creative work. But folks, all men are not the children of God in a personal sense as a father with a son. Simply put, everyone who claims to be a child of God is not necessarily a child of God. Listen to this passage. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And that's 1 John 3:10. John 1, beginning with verse 12, says, "Yet to all who received them, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but children born of God." This is that new birth. This is that new, the regeneration that brings us into the family. Being a functional family member means that we're committed. Folks, listen, in a dysfunctional family, everyone does their own thing. There's no commitment to the other family members. However, in a functional family, each member has a sense of commitment to the family. Husbands and wives are committed to pursuing what is best for the other person. Now, this is a passage, this next one I read, is very often read at weddings, and it's okay, but I want you to listen to it. It starts with Ephesians 5, verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife." Listen to this next part. "As Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, without wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body," talking about Christ. "And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. "However, each one of you also must also love his wife as he loves himself, and wife must respect her husband." Listen, this is a picture of the church in Christ. Christ desires what is best for us. Christ's commitment to us, it took him to the cross. It took him to the cross to the point that he died on that cross for us and provided us with the Holy Spirit to direct our path through life. As his bride, our commitment, that is the church, as his bride, our commitment to him should be to love him unreservedly, living each day with the intent of bringing honor and glory to him in all that we do. Christ is our reason. He is our reason for life. He is our reason for love. He is our reason for worship. Christ is the one that brings us together in a body of fellowship. And he sends the Holy Spirit to all who receive him. And the Holy Spirit abides in us. And that binds us together as one. We are no longer separate, but we are one. And in the body of Christ, in the church, there is unity there. And we could go on and we could talk about, well, which one is greater? No one is greater. Only Christ is great. Each part, every part has equal respect. His bride, the church, is committed to his glory and to his honor. Eric, thank you. I love Eric. And I always forget to do this. And folks, I'm on the backside of some bronchitis, so if my throat's a little icky, I can't help it. I want us to understand, as we welcome new members, it's more than just somebody standing up and saying, I am joining Laurel Street Community Church. It's the body together saying, we are becoming one. They are one with us, we are one with them, and above all, we are one with God. Christ desires what is best for us, and his commitment to us, like I said, it took him to the cross. Parents, you're committed to encouraging their children to learn and develop their skills. Ephesians 6:4 tells us that fathers are to nurture and admonish their children. Nurturing is to cultivate and to foster in one a spiritual appetite and growth, while admonishing is a matter of teaching what is right and wrong and warning of the dangers and providing guidance. Those who are mature believers in the faith need to nurture. They need to mentor those who are young in the faith. And I don't think we do enough of this. You know, there are people who have been Christians for 40 years and they haven't grown at all. They're as young and immature in Christ as the day they received him. Now, don't get me wrong. They inherit the same kingdom we inherit, but they're missing the blessings that come from growing in the Lord. They're missing the blessings that come from understanding what it is to give unselfishly and what it is to be a part of the family and to unite and to come together. And they miss that because they have not grown spiritually. Folks, here's how we do it. The one who is more mature in Christ, I didn't say better or worse, the one who is more mature in Christ looks for that one that needs to be nurtured, just like a father will nurture a child. They look for that one that needs to be mentored, and they come alongside that person, and they pour their life into that other person to help them to grow. Parents, with your children, think of it this way. With your children, you look at your children and you nurture them. You help them to grow. You provide for them. Do they make mistakes? I don't know about your kids, but mine did. And if you were to talk to my parents, they would probably say, oh yeah, Dennis made a lot of mistakes. But there's a training process so that we grow up and we mature in Jesus Christ and we mature in the knowledge of who He is so that we can allow Christ to be our guide, Christ to be our source, and Christ to be the one that leads us as a body, as a unit. Children need to learn to honor and respect their elders, to listen to instruction. And this comes through mentoring. Leviticus 19 is talking to the young. It says, show respect to the elderly and honor older people. In this way, you show respect for your God. I am the Lord. Proverbs 19 says, listen to the advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. We're growing. We're maturing. We're learning how to be the church that God wants us to be. We're learning how to be the children that God wants us to be. We're learning how to nurture each other and how to help each other to grow. Siblings are committed to encouraging and to being there for one another. In functional families, siblings are there when they're needed. I always remember my brother, and he had a mouth on him. And the one thing that I knew is nobody was going to hurt my brother. It was that simple. It didn't matter to me if he was right or wrong. Nobody was going to hurt my brother. Now, I might beat the pulp out of him. But nobody else was going to. He was my brother. Now, I found out later in life that this brother that I defended, that this brother I protected, this brother I fought for, would deliberately pick fights with upperclassmen and then kind of take bets on whether or not I'd win. Because he knew he couldn't beat me. But he was my brother. My sister, one day we were walking home from school. I was in grade school, and she was two classes ahead of me. I was in first grade, she's in third grade, something like that. We're walking home, and some boys came up and started picking on my sister. And my reaction, real simple, is I jumped the boy, and I wasn't real big, but I jumped him, I put him to the ground, and I took his face, and I slammed his face down in the snow, and just did this with his head down in the snow. My mother received a phone call later that evening. She said, your son beat my son up. Well, she already knew about it because my sister had told. And my mom says, oh, you mean my son who's in first grade beat up your third grade son? I didn't get in trouble that time. Listen, siblings are encouraging, and in functional family, they're there for each other. And they don't turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to their brother and sister. Do you see how this applies to the church? Do you see how God puts this together as the church, as a family, and we're coming together and we're talking and we're sharing and we're getting to know each other? That's the family. And that's what God's talking about. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do good to one another. You know, if all we do is go outside the church and we love people outside the church and we do things for people outside the church and we ignore our brothers and sisters in Christ and we ignore our body, our body becomes weak. So we are to be a loving community here. 1 John 3, beginning in verse 16, says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, But let us love in truth. It's real simple to tell somebody you love them. But showing it, it's a whole different story. Proverbs 27:17, all the men should know that by now. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Being a functional family member means caring. In a dysfunctional family, quite often, there is continual conflict, there's continual coldness, and family members just do not get along. Now, it is inevitable that there will be differences and there will be disagreements, but that doesn't mean that we have to be disagreeable. We're a family. Families have disagreements, but that doesn't mean you're no longer a part of the family. It doesn't mean you walk away from the family or you bow out or whatever. It's because you're a part of the family that you work together on these things. That's how we have to do it. And being disagreeable just so you can be disagreeable is not the answer. Let me tell you something, folks. If you get upset with this church, and I love you guys, and I'm just telling you all the best I can with the love I have. If you love this church, if you're here today and you love the people that are here, and we love each other and we care for each other and we nurture each other and we're helping each other to grow, and a wrinkle comes or there's a disagreement with somebody, you don't walk out. You don't leave. You can't. That's not what God wants us to do. You work through it and you grow stronger and you grow healthier. And when you come out the other side, you discover that you love that person you had the disagreement with. You love them even more. And all too often people think it's easy. Well, so-and-so offended me and I've heard it. And I've heard it this way too. The pastor said blah, 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 and I don't like that. Folks, if I say blah, 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 and you don't like that, please come talk to me. My desire is not to offend. But I want us to grow. I want us to be uplifted as a family. I cannot walk away from my family because I disagree with them. I cannot walk away from my family because I have an argument with them. And I'm so glad Donna believes that because 36 years later, she's still with me. And I'm stubborn. A little. Folks, functional families. Functional families. Philippians says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than themselves. I call that humility. Functional families provide a safe and secure and stable and harmonious environment for every member of the family. There should never be the fear within the family of being slammed or being shamed or being belittled or dismissed. Rather, there should be an atmosphere of caring and consideration. Folks, we care for you. Those of you who in a few minutes will be coming and standing to be recognized as memberships or new members in the church, we want you to know that we're here to care for you and we're here to uplift you. And if you're here today and maybe you've been a member of this church, but you feel that, you know, somehow you've been shamed or belittled or slammed, you know, we want to pray through that and work through that because that's not God's design for the family. There's a man one time, he went to his pastor and he said, you know, pastor, I just feel like there's a lack of friendliness amongst our members, amongst the congregation, and I feel that people are reluctant to greet one another at church. Well, the pastor agreed with him and said, that he devised a plan to change things. So during the services that next Sunday, the pastor described the situation to the congregation, and he says, "We don't greet each other. We don't shake hands. We don't hug. We don't turn and love each other the way we should." So next Sunday, what they're going to do, he says, we're going to have a pause. And during that time, we're going to allow parishioners to turn to those that are seated around them and to greet them with a friendly hello, or give them a hug or shake hands. And we're going to do that next week so that we can begin to get to know each other. Well, after that service, the same man who had come to the pastor turned to the woman behind him and looked at her and stuck his hand out, and he says, "Good morning." She looked at him and shocked indignation on her face, and she snapped, "That doesn't start till next week." As a functional family, we are called to be caring for one another. Functional families help family members feel loved. They help family members feel appreciated and competent. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We uplift each other. Being a functional family member means contributing. In a functional family, each member contributes according to the respective talents, the respective abilities, and the capabilities to the well-being of the family. Ephesians 4, I love this passage because it talks about this. Ephesians 4, verse 12 starts off, "To prepare," and this is the work of the church, "to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Several years ago, two students graduated from Chicago Kent College of the Law, or College of Law. The highest ranking student in the class was a blind man by the name of Overton. And when he received his honor as the highest ranking student, he insisted that half the credit for that should go to his friend Casper Zach. They'd met one another in school when the armless Mr. Casper Zach had guided the blind Mr. Overton down a flight of stairs. This acquaintance ripened to friendship and a beautiful, beautiful example of interdependence. The blind man carried the books which the armless man read aloud in their common study. The deficiency of each was compensated by the other. And after their graduation, they planned on practicing law together. Where one is weak, the other is strong. And that's how we support each other. There's times when I'm down and I need to be lifted up. There's times when you have things in your life and you need a brother or sister in Christ, maybe to do nothing more than give you a hug. Don't ever undervalue the good that a hug can do. I've had people say, I would go and see him, but I don't know what to say. And my response is always the same, just hug him. Just hug him. First Peter 4, beginning with verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful passage. A boarder has no commitment and merely pays rent to have a place to hang his hat for a while. But a functional family member is committed. A functional family member is caring, and they contribute to the well-being of the family. Which are you? Which are you? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we refer to ourselves as a loving church, that there would be love here, that we would nurture one another, that those who are not as mature as others would have someone come alongside and help them to grow. I pray that we would not only say we love each other, but that we would show we love each other. I pray that we would show caring for one another. Father, we look at Jesus as the head of the church, and I pray that that would be the model that we follow, where Christ is the head, and we are all just parts of the body, but as parts of the body that he uses to build his kingdom. And Lord, this morning as we welcome new members into this part of the body, I just ask that you would touch their lives, that you would bless them and help them as they grow in this church and being a part of this church. Lord, we just lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our honor this morning to welcome to fellowship new members into the church. They've been here a while. Some of them have been here a long time and have come to that point that they are willing to become a member of this church, a member of this body. And we want to welcome them. So I'm going to ask those candidates for membership, Rob and Renee, Ed and Georgia, Eric and Deidre, would you come forward, please? Just stand down here and face the congregation. Then I'm going to ask if the elders would come, please. Just stand in front of them. It's fine. There's a record kept. And that record is kept in Findlay, Ohio, of the names of those who are the members of the church. And those names appear and they're recorded in the book of members of the churches of God. And they do mutually and solemnly covenant and agree for the promotion. And this is how it reads: for the promotion of our welfare, the salvation of others, and the glory of God, to unite in church fellowship, to live in Christian peace and love, and to walk and live according to the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, as He has revealed the same to us in His holy scriptures, which contain, as we believe, the only authoritative rule of Christian faith and practice. It goes on in the recorded book in Finley, and it reads, "And moreover, we do solemnly promise patiently to submit to the order of God's house, that is to say, to the government and discipline of His church, and also cheerfully obey the rulers or office bearers who are or at any time may be placed over us in the Lord." The church is a divine institution, and her members are joined to Jesus Christ and to one another by the Holy Spirit. The Church of God, therefore, has no creed or confession of faith except the Bible, for we need nothing more. As I ask these questions to you that are standing before this congregation, you can answer together. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, being born again? Will you follow and serve Him as Lord of your life? If so, answer, "I do." Do you accept the Bible as the inspired Word of God to make it your guide through life or your rule of faith and practice in daily living? And do you promise to follow its precepts faithfully? If so, say, "I do." Do you promise to support the church faithfully by your presence, your natural gifts and talents, and by your means, as the Lord may bless and prosper you? If so, say, "I do." Then I, as the pastor of this church, and these elders standing before you, in the name of the church, welcome you to all of her blessings and opportunities. As we present you with these certificates of membership, we also want to extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship. And may God bless you. May God make you fruitful in Christian labor in this church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for those that have come this morning. And we lift them up to you that they would be productive, fruitful members of this church. And Father, as we present them, just touch their heart, that they would understand the promises they have taken, that they would hold true to those promises. But also, Father, that we as a church would hold true to the promises we have to care for and to nurture them. Lord, I just lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we hand out the certificates, and I'm going to step down to shake hands with you in a minute, but I'm going to ask, I see you guys have certificates. Eric Woodley. Well, always own dad gets to give him a certificate. Okay. I got to tell you guys something. I've watched Eric grow in this church. And I don't mean just bigger, because he has truly done that, but I have watched him grow into a young man. And I see Eric as a young man with a great future, And I hear comments from other people talking about the quality of this young man. Congratulations to his parents for a job well done. But folks, congratulations to the church. For the church, too, has been a part of that growth. Deidre. I remember when this little one was just a little one. Deidre's here when things need to be done. I've seen her stand outside in freezing cold weather, holding a horn and trying to keep from shivering and shaking too much. But she was there, and she was serving. I've seen her help as the church does things where there might be some cleaning needed or straightening up. She's taken a part in her church, and we're so thankful, and we're so blessed to have her as a member of the church. Ed. Ed and Georgia came to us, and it's been a joy getting to know them. And Ed is a teacher. And there's one thing about teachers, they have to teach. It's that simple. There's those who can present the word, and then there's those who can teach. And Ed has taken on the role of working with our high school group as a Sunday school teacher. And we're so thankful for that as he moves into it. And then Georgia comes along, and somebody, did she get her card? Georgia comes along, and her comment to me is, "What would you like for me to do? Whatever it is, I'm willing to help. I'm here to serve." And these are the servants that we look for in the church. Not just coming in and saying, "I'm going to be a boarder and just occupy space, but I'm going to be a part of the family, and I'm going to care for and nurture and uplift the family." And we're so thankful for Ed and Georgia. Rob. God is amazing. We had a fire. Rob's, it been a year ago yet? Okay. A little bit over a year ago. We had a fire. And I had a cleanup crew come in, and they did a marvelous job going through cleaning the church and taking care of the fire damage. And little did I know the relationship that was going to grow, as Rob was the one that was really doing the work. And out here on the front with a little, I don't know what you'd call that thing, but trying to get the brick color back and things to look the way they were. We had a fire, and because we had a fire, today we're welcoming a new family in the church. And as I got to know Rob, he expressed that interest in coming. And it's been a joy to get to know him. I'm going to share more in a minute. And Renee, this is Rob's better half.
A lot prettier too.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Gene. And Renee has likewise stepped in, and she said, "What can I do?" "Well, Renee, we need the sign to be changed." "Okay, I'll do that." "Renee, hears that we need somebody to decorate." "Well," she says, "it's not really my strong suit, but I'm willing to do that." And they've stepped in and taken part, and the big role that comes now with Rob and Renee. Lots of prayer. We had lots of prayer on this and discussion. And now starting will be the 1st of September, Rob and Renee are going to take the youth group and be the leaders for the youth group. And we're so thankful for that and their willingness to serve in that capacity. This is what God wants. He wants us working together. And I'm excited when people come and they say, "What can I do?" And they do it. As we dismiss this morning, I'm going to step down. I'm going to shake hands with each one. I'm going to ask them to step out into the narthex. And then you as a congregation, if you would just be sure as we go out to shake hands with them, hug their neck. And yeah, you can do it this week. You don't have to wait till next week. And just let them know that we love them and we appreciate them. We're so glad that they're here. Stick around. We're going to have some food in a little bit, have the potluck. I'm smelling the food now, and it smells good. But we do want to welcome them and take time to visit them. If you don't know them, get to know them. And I maybe should have done a better job introducing them, but this is Deidre. And she's shy. She loves horses. And she really would like the pastor to leave her alone now. Folks, let's pray. Lord, what can we say but thank you? Thank you for these wonderful people that you have sent to be a part of this body, and this body being a part of your body, the Church of God. And Father, I pray that they would find in their various jobs pleasure, that they would be filled in knowing that they're serving you. Let us welcome them, Lord, as a part of our body and a part of your family. We lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.